Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Amen. Glory to God. You know, God doesn't have time he wants to do stuff. Like, it's not the time you want him or you think he wants to, he will do something that he actually does it. He has what he's the one that wants to do what he wants to do. And he does it at the time he wants to do it. Yeah, that's how I want to say it. Amen. I'm trying to say that for him, if it is the time now, you better get ready and align with his time. Praise the Lord. Wow. Welcome to church. Tell somebody, welcome to church. Amen. I'm grateful to God for what he's been doing in the service from the beginning. Thank you, Hill City. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. God is good. So we've been learning, living by every word, right? And last week, I remember that the core of what I was trying to, you know, what I shared was, what word have we received that we are holding on to? It could be a question, have you received the word from the Lord? Now, it's not just about needs. It's about our life. Amen. It's not just that I have a problem, I need a solution, I need a word for it. That applies. But it is that my life needs direction. Right? I need to just know where the Lord wants me to go. My life needs instruction. So Lord, what is that word? What is that instruction that I need to run with? I should anchor my heart and run with it. Hallelujah. For a person like Apostle Paul, the Lord said to him that I'm sending you to the Gentiles. So he was not confused about what the word was. So no matter what challenge he's facing, I heard what the Lord said. A while since I heard that, right? It's been a long while since I heard that. So I hope it will continue the way it used to be. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Lord will always give. Jesus himself knew why he came. He had a word for the work he came to do. It is that you're coming to die to bring salvation to men. So he is not confused about his assignment. So most times we don't know what God has called us to do. We don't know what what he wants us to do. So I'm saying that his word, his instruction is a strong anchor that can hold you no matter the adversity. Which is why it was weird or funny that the disciples, the Lord has said to them, let's go over to the other side. And they got on the boat. Jesus was not in the boat because Jesus has already said, let's meet over there. And they met something tragic on the way, challenge. The sea was boisterous, the Bible tells us. That word was enough if they remembered it and understood what it means. That Jesus said, we are headed over to the other side. So it was worth to hold on to. Because he said, we are going over to the other side. We are not going to die on this storm. But the problem is that we forget what Jesus said. Sometimes he has said words, but you forget them. And when you forget them, then there is nothing you are actually anchoring on through life. There's nothing you are holding on to as you are journeying in life. So you get through a particular point in life where there is a challenge and you're all over the place. Why? I have forgotten what he said. So Andrew Womack shared the story of how that his son died. His son had died and the distance from his house to school is quite a distance, like very far. So he was at home, they called them that, oh, your son is dead. And he got in the car with his wife, ready to get to the school. They said, while he was in the car, all the emotions that should happen to a parent who just lost the child came flooding his heart. Which is what? Grief, you know, sadness, confusion, what? I didn't hear that. Anger, all of that started flooding his heart. So, but thank God for God's word. So he just said, I would have chosen to stay with this. I mean, it would be justified. After all, I just lost a child. And started crying and started doing all of that. But he said, he didn't want to do that. So he just said, no, I'm not going to take this emotion. You know, it's a choice. Do you know that? Even though the world will tell you, oh, cry, oh, grieve, all of that. But I'm saying it's a choice. It's okay to grieve, no doubt. I do grieve. But I'm saying you can choose. You can make a choice. Some of these emotions, all of these emotions, really, you can make a choice. So he said, no, I'm not going to. So he just started singing. I started to praise God. I started to not sing. I started to praise God. I started to just give the Lord thanks. And the Lord started to remind him what has been said about this child. All the words he had given him about this son. And he said, so he will not die. Remember, he was already dead. But remembering what God has said, he said, so my son will not die because these words have not been fulfilled. So it was enough to hold, you know, he just held on. He started to say those things God has said. Started to declare those things God has said. He said, yeah, this has to happen. It hasn't happened, so he wouldn't die. So when he got to the place, he said, this boy has been put in the mug, tagged. But of course, when he got there, the boy was alive. They had brought him out of the mug, removed the tag, and they said, well, nothing has spoiled except the one that has spoiled before. You know, it can be funny. So nothing was wrong with the boy. He was absolutely okay. No brain damage, nothing about. He was just okay. Why? Somebody remembered what God has said and said, if God said this, he is faithful to bring his words to completion, no matter what I've experienced in between. Death situation can be very, very dear. It can be very challenging, can be very staring. You know, it can be confusing. But you see, we must always remember what God has said and hold on to it. Say with me, his word can never fail. His word can never fail. It's beautiful for us what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians. If you can put that up for me, 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20 in NLT. I like the way it says it. All promises of God in Christ, they are with a resounding yes. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. Somebody say fulfilled in Christ. With a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory, is already fulfilled. The reason we pray, at least one of it, is to receive his instruction, is to receive his word, to receive his word. When the Lord says a thing to you, he says your own job is a resounding amen. Why? It's already fulfilled in Christ. Every one of God's promises, he says it is already fulfilled in Christ. Now, many times people wonder, but you don't understand the situations. You don't understand the challenge. Which is why Abraham is in the scripture for us to see what his life is like. Glory to Jesus. And the Bible will tell us in Genesis chapter 15 how that God had told him, listen, I'm going to bless you. I'll give you a son. Made those promises. And the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for what? Righteousness. Now, in the next chapter, chapter 16, Genesis, Sarah now said, take my maid, right? And see if the Lord will give us a child from there, seeing that the Lord had not given me a child. So Abraham went into Hagar, which is the maid of Sarah, and he conceived a son. Where I want us to spend time a bit is Genesis 17 from verse 15. You can keep that in NLT too. Genesis chapter 17, 15 and 18. So after he had the child, of course, Hagar, if I immediately conceived self, Hagar started to started to change. Anyway, then God said to Abraham regarding Sarai, your wife, her name will no longer be Sarai. Sarai is like my princess. You know, it's a personal or just my princess or our family princess. He says, from now on, her name will be what? Sarah. Sarah is now princess of the nation or a noble woman. Okay? So that's now more mother of nations. And I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. Okay? Then Abraham bowed down. Let's read together. And he, in what? Disbelief. How could I become a father at the age of 100, he thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old? You see that? A word has come, but there are impossible situations around. And he laughed. Bible tells us clearly in what? In disbelief. Like how now? As how? Lord, how can this be? Okay? I'm 100, she's 90. How? Let's go on. So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. What does that mean? This one you are saying, this one that I have now, just bless this one, okay? Bless this one for me. Praise God. There are words that the Lord will speak to you, and you will look at where you are at the moment, and you will say, Lord, just, this thing you are saying is too lofty. Let's just stay where we are. Which is what the Israelites were asking for, even when they were crying out to the Lord for deliverance. You know, they were not asking the Lord for Canaan. They just wanted the pressure to reduce. They just wanted the Egyptians to just see them as human beings and stop, you know, seeing them as slaves. They wanted to also be maybe appointed into offices, wanted to be in charge of things. They just wanted to be okay in Egypt. But God's word is not what the word from man or the thoughts of man. He says in Isaiah 55 that as the heavens is far from the earth, so are my thoughts far from yours. So you can be thinking, oh, this is just what is okay for me. But the word of the Lord can, the fruit it's going to bring forth is much more than our minds can conceive. Hallelujah. So Abraham could have been telling the story of how, we see that in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, how that the womb was dead, his body is dead, so there is deadness. I can see it. I know it. So we can choose to dwell there or move past that quickly onto what God had promised. Hallelujah. And that is what Abraham did. I want to read that Romans chapter 4. Verse 18. What I tried to show you there is that you can start out in doubt and end up your way in faith. Amen. And God is fine. God is happy. He's not sad when you are struggling with disbelief. Just get back on faith sharp. Romans chapter 4. Verse 18 says, who contrary to hope, talking about Abraham, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So these are real time events. These are real things happening in their life. But he says he did not consider these issues. So I need to pay this bill, and I've been suspended. I need to take care of these things, and the job I expect is not coming forth. I look around and all I see is impossibilities. I don't even know how it's going to happen. So the Lord is saying to us that you can choose to keep your eyes on the circumstance, on the present circumstance, or look past it onto what I have said. Most times, Satan wants to just keep the experience in view. He wants to keep the challenge in view. He wants to keep the doctor's report in view. He wants to keep the problem in view. Just be saying it. He will do everything possible to keep your heart and your mind on the challenge. But our job is to get our heart off of the problem onto what God has said. That is why that conversation last week was important. What has he said? Because if you know what he said, you have an anchor. You have something to hold on to. Hallelujah. There's something the Lord was just saying to me about something. And it is how that, you know, if I say to you now expressly, like the Lord said that by, say, in 6 months' time, you will get a job. You get that job you desire. Let's use that. You get your dream job. You scream a big amen, and you just rejoice, and you go, right? So in your head, you're just expecting that in 6 months' time, it has clicked. You get the job. Okay. Now, that's granted, Abby. Now, if I said to you, or if somebody says to you, that in 6 months' time, there will be trouble, right? That there's a trouble that will come up in 6 months' time. You know, the approach will be different. You will not say, oh, granted, the trouble is coming. Let's wait for trouble. 6 months, we deal with it. Will you do that? After you have said, God forbid, you now wait for 6 months. You know, actively, you are going to stay on that matter until you are sure you receive peace that passes understanding that it is settled. Right? You will deal with it. You will not sleep with, God forbid, it's not me, it's not me, and then you go and sleep. You won't do it. You will stay on it and say, no, I refuse this thing, and then you receive peace and let it go. Right? I'm trying to say that when God's word comes to us, that's not staying on it is why we don't see things happen. The Lord's word comes to you is something to meditate upon until it becomes flesh, until it becomes one with your spirit. So it's not something that is in your head, they said. You hear it again and again until you see it. It's no longer that, pastor said, it is that the Lord will do it. It becomes something God has said to you. What I'm saying is that anytime the Lord gives you a word, don't shelf it. Oh, go home, stay with it, meditate on it. And by the way, meditation is that is you are pondering on it, you are thinking it, and you are muttering it. If you even check the original Hebrew, is that it's funny how he said you are growling it. So you mutter, you growl it like the way a lion is, that thing the lion does when he sees a prey. Before he now starts when he starts getting a prayer, that's it does. You mutter it from your spirit. The idea is that you do it until that word enters you. Such that if you woke up and somebody said it will not happen, you know it's not possible. As a matter of fact, it must happen. Why? I mean, what the Lord has said has become one with my own spirit. And I started to learn how that there are words the Lord has spoken to me. I had just left there. And I'm just, it's good. It's going to happen. And he says, start thinking on them. Start thinking about these words. Start thinking about these words. And I'm saying the same thing to us this morning. Go back to the words the Lord has said to you and start to think on them. Why we forget what God has said is because we don't spend time thinking on them. Why we forget God's instructions, what God has said, God's answers, is because we don't spend time speaking those words to ourselves. We don't spend time thinking about it, imagining it. You know, years ago, I listened to Adumoka several times. He talks about that imagination, imagining what God has said, seeing it. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what he was saying at the time. How? Just sit down and be imagining. But you see, it's fact. His fact. Bible tells us that Isaac was in the field meditating. Then when he looked up, he saw the servant coming back with his wife. But what he just went, sat down there and was meditating. Thinking upon the word of God, thinking about what God has said, is something we don't have time for. If I say now, quiet time, many people will start dozing off. I mean, I'm even talking and people are feeling sleepy. Praise the Lord. So when it's now quiet, everybody just sit down. 10 minutes. Silence everywhere. Just put a scripture. Yeah, everybody think about it. Hallelujah. Because I realize that we can't sit quiet anymore. It's as if you must, where's my phone? Where is this? Where is that? You just look for something. But that thing is a practice that we must begin to do every day. See, you have to see it. You have to see what God has said. And it's not just thinking about it. It's that I'm thinking about it as my present reality. Do you understand that? So God has said this. It's no longer somebody is sick or I'm sick and I'm trusting God to get healed. It's no longer that I'm thinking about when I will be healed, but I'm thinking myself healed and I'm seeing myself healed. That is meditation. So the Lord has given me his word. I think upon that word till I'm seeing myself, imagining myself how I'm supposed to look like being healed. So I see that as my present reality. Speaking it, muttering it to myself, saying it to myself. Ah, hallelujah. I remember when I'm jogging around town. I'm doing everything I need to do because I'm no longer this sick person. What I'm saying to you this morning is the reason you forget or don't hold on to what God has said to you, your eyes are now on the prevailing circumstances, is because we don't meditate on God's word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, what did the Lord say to him? At the point Moses had passed and Joshua was in a quagmire. He was in a state where he doesn't even know what to do, whether to turn to his left or his right. And the Lord said to him, what? Be strong. Be courageous. He encouraged him. After that, what did he say? He says, this book of the Lord in verse 8, this book of the Lord will not do what? Should not ever. You should stay there. This book of the law shall not ever depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you will do what? Observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. Who will make your way? Praise the Lord. Then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Why? The more you are meditating on the word, you are keeping it in your mouth, it is there in your heart. The choices you make will become the word choice. The decisions you make will become the word decisions. You will see your way prosperous. So if the Lord has given us this, that the way to be prosperous and have good success is to meditate on the word of God day and night, don't you think we should do it? So it's good to read the Bible. Say amen. Oh, read the Bible. Read it voraciously. But more than reading, think on it. What does it even mean? Have you ever imagined David running up to Goliath with a sling and a stone? You know, picturing what the Bible says is how to really enjoy it. I was just thinking about it earlier this morning also. And the thing that just came to me is that the stone may be light, but surely not the name of the Lord he was going with. You may look at the stone and it's small, but you see, the name of the Lord is going to press that stone into his skull. Because the name sure is weighty. The name of the Lord has weight. So I could just imagine him carrying his sling and his stone, and he was running up to Goliath. We must picture these things. So God has said, you are going to be this. Imagine it. Think about it. Mutter it to yourself. Say what God has said. It's supposed to be easy, right? But why don't we do it? I mean, he has said it. You are not manufacturing it. Say what he has said. He says, let it not depart from your mouth. Not in the morning, not in the night. And you see how his reign was. Joshua had such a beautiful season in his life leading Israel. Those annoying people, but Joshua had a very beautiful lead. Why? I believe he kept to this instruction. People that even God used to complain about. Amen. Say this for me. Yeah. Amen. Let's read this together again. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth. Can we say that? But I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that it is written in it, for then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Hallelujah. Amen. Then I'll have good success. Make my way prosperous, I'll have good success. Glory to Jesus. So I want to get married. How many times have I looked at the scripture, at least the one that you know that says none shall lack their mate, and actually think upon it? Praise God. And just think about it. Believe it enough till it becomes God's word to you. This Christian Christianity we practice is not a mute, quote unquote, religion. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not even a who thing. You must speak it. You must speak it. Because the more we see these things, remember what it says, that all the promises have been fulfilled in Christ, that you will say something. What do you say? So you say to it. Has it been fulfilled? Yes. But you have a responsibility to respond to what has been fulfilled. You understand that? No, you're not, your amen or your yes will not fulfill it. It's been fulfilled. But you are going to have to respond to what was fulfilled to receive it. So we speak forth what God has said. I may not understand, but the word of God is bigger than your situation. I may not understand, but I'm saying that the word of God is bigger than the problem. Oh, it's bigger than the problem. And if it is bigger than the problem, I want to just believe the word. I want to understand the word. And I want us to understand the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 4, 32 and 35. This scripture, just stayed in my heart. I went to visit one of my sisters within the week, and while we just had the conversation, this it just came up somehow in my heart, and it's so beautiful. I loved it. Acts chapter 4. Verse 32, it says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. So this is here, except I believe that we're all saved. I do believe. Anyway, it says, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. That is how it should be. Say amen. That is how it should be, that the multitude of those who believe should have one heart and one soul. He says, neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Okay? Then verse 34 says, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, you want to note that his name is not originally what? Barnabas. So he was named. Why was he named that? Because he was what? A son of encouragement. So when you see Barnabas, you are encouraged. They say, Barnabas. That's a nickname. A Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Praise the Lord. It's amazing, because for the first time, I didn't just see the scripture as that of giving, but how that he says, first of all, they had one heart in unity of heart, right? But he went on to say that nobody was lacking anything. You see, this is a body, amen? This is a body. I see how from scriptures that every burden one has is a burden for all to deal with.
Hallelujah.
Listen, if there's a problem for one person in TCC, God expects that we all carry that burden and solve it. When Peter was taken, the disciples did not say, let his family people pray. After he had a wife. Didn't he have a wife? He had a family. They didn't all go back to their homes and say, we're praying for you. We're praying for you, Peter. They left everything, gathered in a place, stayed there. Even though, listen, no, even though they, for me, they had disbelief in their heart. But the action of tarrying there, waiting for an answer at least, got the job done. There's something about the body. Hallelujah. There's something about this body. What I'm saying is important. I'm trusting God I can communicate it clearly. You see, if you don't believe something, you don't throw it down another person's truth. You must believe it. There are people, the Bible clearly tells us, they have weak consciences. It says, if you go to a person's house and they serve you meat, not ask any question, do what? Eat what they serve before you. But if somebody there says, this meat, they sacrifice it to idol, you are not allowed to eat it again. Not because you don't think that there's nothing wrong with it. You know, you can say, no, there's nothing wrong with it, and eat it. But scripture says, don't eat it. Not for your own conscience, but for that brother's conscience. It tells us something. The love walk Jesus teaches us is beyond, is not you. It is that you think of another first. When you are coming to church, come to church to bear another person's burden. Come to church to help lift somebody up. You see somebody looking cast down. You don't look away. I don't know what the person is dealing. Let me go and look for people that are smiling. Who is supposed to put a smile on that sister's face? Who's supposed to help the person stand? Who's supposed to restore joy? So I'm saying to you that I'm just looking through what they had. Anybody who is missing out on something, everybody gathers together to make sure that need is provided. Anybody who is suffering or dealing with anything, everybody gathers to solve it. You may say, but do we know? People don't say now. The one we know, uncle. Praise God. Who told them that Peter has been captured? It was visible. They knew that Peter is missing. You know, this happened. Did Peter have to come and send them a letter? Oh, I've been captured though. Please pray for me. No, there's a need. You saw it. It's our body. Let's deal with it. Why? We are one body. If a finger is hot, your whole body knows that there's hot somewhere. I've not seen anybody that even the small toe, this tiny toe, don't bargain here. If don't jam that leg, your brain will scream. Amen. There's no part of your body that will be rejoicing. Oh, thank God, it's not me. The hand will be saying, oh, it's not me. Hallelujah. No, every part of your body knows that there's pain somewhere. You have toothache, one tooth. You almost be just, you don't want to walk. I'm saying that Jesus says that we are one body. We are one body. You know, there are things you believe, like for instance, we do love Sunday every third Sunday, right? So you can just say, what's there? But you see, there are people that they look forward to it. It's a thorough blessing to their soul. You know, because of that alone, you can say, oh yes, so big, I'm bringing 2 coolers of rice. Eat and carry it to your house. Why? A brother needs it. I'm not thinking about myself. Is it not? I mean, I can eat in my house. But it's not about you. It's that we are communing together. It's that the body is eating together. It's that there's somebody that may not have to eat, that I'm grateful that they can at least eat. We eat together in church. I don't know if you get my point. So I can have a thought about it. And it's okay to have the thought. But because I have to think about another brother or another sister, so that my thought, I should better pocket it. Why? The body is bigger than the one. The body is bigger than each one of us as individuals. So, I'm a pastor, but I am a part of the body. So the body is over, is bigger than one person.
when Jesus talks about his love in our hearts, we see how he laid down his own life. I think about it. It's about us, not him. He said, no. He gave it willingly. So, as a body, nobody's now asking us of our lives. Amen. We can't even give more than Jesus already gave. He had given already. So what we are giving is our love, our prayers, our time, our resources. We can do that, can't we? The love of Jesus that we have in TCC, I mean, is established forever. In the name of Jesus. What I'm bringing to our heart is that beyond when we gather in church, there are real needs. Do you understand? So I know that this person is dealing with this. We don't remember it only when we gather in church on Sunday. We don't only remember it when we come to church. We take up the burden. It is not solved yet. Oh, we've not seen it solved. We stay with it until we see it lifted. We receive it together. Do you understand what I'm saying? We receive it what? Together. We receive it together. So he says, none shall cast their young. And we hear that, oh, this person's child is struggling. We receive that dead one back alive together. He says, none shall be barren. Together we do what? We receive all the children we need. Together. It's a body thing. It's a body thing. What one individual will spend 1 year believing for, the body will receive in a few weeks. Hallelujah. Let's stretch beyond our personal comfort. It's never convenient. You think it was convenient for Jesus? It's never convenient. But you see, love is really not about convenience. Loving people is not about convenience. A man loves his wife through everything. Sick, healthy, okay, in wealth, whatever. You love regardless, right? You don't say, oh, now that you're looking good. I mean, think about it. Sometimes when somebody is looking very trim as a single person, when the person gets bigger after he had had children, we now say, no, I'm not loving anymore. You're now too big. Big will be going. Going where? So you respond me how you brought me, Abby, now. Well, I'm... That's a joke. Amen. You will love the person as he be now. Anyhow the person be. You will love the person like that. And vice versa, Abby. Amen. You not say no. You used to be very rich. Now I don't know what's going on. Where are you going to? Be my money back. No, nothing like that. Amen. I'm just saying that we love regardless. Glory to Jesus. And we learn from Christ. Why? Have you imagined that when you falter, you hardly forgive yourself? But you know, in that you struggling to forgive yourself, the love of Jesus is in abundance for you right there. You know I messed up. I'm even trying to love myself right now. But even in the midst of you trying to love yourself, he's loving you. He doesn't say, get your acts together, then I can consider if I want to love you or not. As you're faltering, he's loving you. Say, where sin abounds, what? Grace superabounds. So in the same vein, when a brother or sister offends you, grace should abound much more. It's in those ones that don't look like it in your eyes that grace should abound much more. You should invest much time. You should invest much prayer. You should invest more care. When they don't look like they are going to give you anything back, is when the love should be overflowing much more. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And that love is not eros. It is agape. It is not feelings. It's not like, I feel like loving you. It doesn't matter how you feel. Even when the person offended you, you have to love the person while at it. So we are dealing with an issue we have, but that issue must be dealt with in love. It is the word of God. We have to live by it. Believe what God says and believe that you can live like that. Somebody did something crazy. Me, I didn't even believe it was possible, but the person did it to me recently and I'm like, what? Meanwhile, before that thing happened, I was already planning how I was going to give that, you know, say, when the Lord gives me, I will try and give this. I was already planning what to do for the person. Ah, and the person did this. I said, ah, how? I say, ah. Of course, now the first thought is that, I better go, don't, for what? Am I paying back for what you did? For what will I give you? But then I remember that Jesus won't treat me like that. Yes. I have purposed in my heart to do it. I have to do it. Her heart should not make me step down and stay in unforgiveness. See, that she did something wrong, I should not now step down in her being wrong. No, it's not funny. It's not even, what I'm saying is, it's not like it's so sweet in my body, but it is the word of God. I owe her love, regardless. My first thought was to go and catch her first and ask her, what is going on? From where to where? How? I just thought about it. One, I'll give room for her to tell me things I don't want to hear. And then I would not have more to deal with. So I said, no. The things that I've proposed to do, I will do it regardless. Now, she's not even a part of this, my family. How much more a member of this family? You take months, you've not talked. No, I don't even think that it's happening here. Amen. Somebody hurts you in January. You are telling the person in December. No. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because, you know, Bible says it is the pure in heart that will see God. So it means that every day you are going before God. Do you want to see God at all with all of that going on in your heart? You want to keep your heart be going. Let my heart stay chaste. I want to just see my Father. I want to keep. That is important to me. You must guard it. That is why you just dash the person love and be going. Why? My heart is important to me. You may say, but you know that your heart, you are hurting. You remember it and you are not happy. You are not joyful. Praise God. So it doesn't mean that you get the person back to, you know, doing what they are not doing well or not, where they are hurting you. But I'm saying that you must respond in love. Your response must be love. Your response must be love. Praise God. And you know what? We're not. It's not that you are going to buy the love. You are full of love. You are full of love. Why? The Holy Spirit, who owns it, who produces it, the vine lives in you. You cannot be producing what the vine doesn't have. Abi, he is the vine, we are the branches. So the vine is love. So we just produce love. Praise the Lord. You just produce love. The Bible clearly tells us that offense will come. You are not in shock when it happens. Offense will surely come. So we prepare our mind already that, I know offense is coming, but I already forgive. Because I don't want anything coming in between my walk with God, my heart posture. I don't want anything dainting it. Forgive quickly. Forgive fast. Let it go. Let it go. Go and cancel that thing you wrote in your diary. Go and cancel it. You want your diary to remind you that the person did it in so-so day. There's no need. Go and cancel it. Move on. You can't move on holding on to the past. Hallelujah. You can't move on holding on to the past. So it's so important what I shared from here, that they were all in unity of heart. They were in unity of heart and one soul, yes. And neither anything anyone possesses, neither anyone said that things they possess was his own. You can't have 10 pair of shoes and your brother is coming to church with slippers. Amen. You can't do that. Give the person at least one pair. Hallelujah. Somebody, you see, this person, all her clothes is no more her size. You have seen it. You have noticed it. Do something about it. Do you understand? Do something about it. It can be one cloth that you can help with. You don't have to break a bank. You can even get another sister. Let's do something for you. Do you understand? Why? One body. One body. I've shared here how in a church, this lady came out from nude economy. You know, they just wear anything. Wear half here, half there. That's what they, and it's okay. That, for them, it's not a problem. It's not like I don't have clothes. No, this is how we dress. But then she got saved and joined a church. And being so excited at what God had done for, you know, when you receive Jesus, it can be very exciting. So she was so excited. So she came to church that morning and the praise was going on, and then she was jumping. And the lady was well endowed up here. So she was just jumping and screaming and just praising and giving thanks and all of that. And every other person in church were like, Jesus, they were, you know how you're holding their breath. Can service end? As soon as service ended, everybody started marching to the pastor's office. Hey. You were. They took placard and marched the pastor's house. Say, Pastor, did you see what we saw in the service today? Say, what did we see? He said, that sister, she was jumping. Please let's tell her. You know what he said? He said, I forbid anybody to tell her anything. See, when we got her saved, we did not tell her that she needs to change her dresses to be saved. We were there when we got her saved. Weren't we? He said, yes. Did you tell her that she needed to change her dressing to be saved? He said, no. So I said, you're not telling her anything. It was good the way he did it, because, let me leave that. Anyway, so what happened was that they just continued fellowshipping with her. Then women prayer one day, she came and everybody were praying. And, you know, so one day they just said, women prayer, as they were praying, they said, okay, does anybody have anything they want us to pray for them about? So she raised her hand and they said, okay, what is it? She said, please pray for me that I'll have clothes. I said, it's again, clothes? He said, before the evening of that day, she had clothes that were covering her hands and running on the floor. Everybody brought long clothes. Hallelujah. And the next time she wore it and came and gave testimony, oh my God, I'm looking good. Praise the Lord. This body, this body, so it's, we don't know what we have as a body. Imagine that after they have told her, okay, what should we do? Remember, she doesn't even know that there's a problem with what she's wearing. It's now the Lord working in her heart and seeing what her sisters are wearing. She now that there's something odd about me. I don't want to be open in everybody's eyes anymore. By herself, she said, pray for me that I'll have clothes. I said, pray again. That's not a prayer point. God has answered. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So in this body, we are not judgmental. We correct in love. We build up. Praise the Lord. That time you see now this thing is so this. Please show one that is now this. Do you understand? You react Or you act in action instead of reacting in, oh, no, it shouldn't be. Do you know if that person doesn't have anything else? Well? And then you chase the person out of church because they will not be conscious. I'm not looking good. In one heart, in one soul, not one was lacking anything. You can't be in a body and nobody can know what you're going through. Did you hear what I said? No, you can't be in this body and nobody can. You can't say to a brother, to a sister, this is what I'm dealing with. Can you pray with me? You have to. It means you don't understand the body you are into. You can say to somebody, stay with me on this conversation. Stay with me until the will of the Lord prevails over that matter. Don't bear it alone. I don't want anybody to know. He puts the solitary in families. There's a reason God puts you in this family. Don't bear it alone. Don't be alone. Don't be a loner. Glory to God. Scripture tells us people had land and they sold it. Do you think there were no people that didn't have anything? You think they were feeling shy? I don't have land to sell. You don't have it, you don't have. But you don't care that another person is bringing. Why? When I have, I bring. Praise God. And the one that has will not now say, every time I'm the one bringing. You can't say it though. You don't want to be the one that is receiving all the time. Did you get my question? You know, sometimes we ask, every time I'm the one that is giving. I'm the one that is giving. Okay? You don't want to have to give anymore. Do you understand? So you give liberally, joyfully, because he gave you. Not one was lacking anything. I wanted to really, really, just let us remember these things. So you look around you at what weight is my brother carrying? What weight is my sister carrying? As a body, let's shove it away. Hallelujah. Let's move it away. And it is possible. It is possible. Don't wait till it's not an emergency. Say it early. Please help me. Uphold me in prayers. Even Apostle Paul said what? Pray for me, my brethren. And I'm asking all of you to pray for me. There is nothing shameful about it. Don't wait till you are swallowed up with something that can be dealt with. If you believe in Jesus and you believe in his body, just leverage on it. Say, pray with me. This thing is drowning me. Don't stay there and be, no. He didn't. There's a reason why you are not alone. Praise God. There's a reason why he put you in a family. There has to be at least a person. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So walk in love. Tell somebody walk in love. Forgive quickly. Give generously. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't forget where I started. I didn't forget. I just needed to. We are discussing the word basically and how to live on it. Now let me say this. If you think you are struggling with love, begin to meditate with love, on love scriptures. What does the Lord say? He said, the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts. So you begin to think on it and mortar it. Say it how that I am full of love. Do you understand? Say it. Oh, I'm full of love. Instead of saying, you know, that's meditation. You are saying it. You are calling it forth. That is, I'm quick-tempered. I am quick to anger. That's how we are in our family. We are used to anger. Instead of saying that, just say, I am quick to forgive. Me? I forgive easily. Before even you, I've already forgiven you. Even though you are still hurting in your heart, say it. Mortar it. Think on it. Oh, I love you regardless. I love you. I love you. Amen. Think on God's word. The more you think on it, the more it's taking root in your heart. You see it yourself doing it. You don't, is it me? Yes, it's you. Praise God forevermore. Every word God has given you, please go back to it. Begin to think upon it. Begin to imagine it. Remember what I said, as your present reality. Do you know what present reality means? So this is how I am now. Okay? This is what I have now. This is where I'm living now. As your present reality. It's not what will happen. It's what is done. Bow your heads and give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. It says the Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more. So stop seeing them. See Canaan. See the land he's taking you. See the salvation of the Lord. See the help of the Lord. See it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Think on it. Mutter it again and again. Mutter it again and again. I'll give you a minute to remember something the Lord said to you. I don't know who it is, but it is in my heart that there is something expressly, you know, God said to you last year. It just came to my heart again now. I don't know who that is. But the Lord said something to you last year. You knew it clearly that this is what God said about this matter. This is the answer the Lord gave me. Call it to remembrance and begin to speak it. Put it in your mouth. If you have to write it, write it. If you have to paste it around your house, paste it. But keep it in your mouth. Anything you have to do for the word of God to stay in your heart, please do it. Please do it. Anything you have to do. If you have to paste it, you know, when you are seated in the toilet, you are seeing it. You have to paste it in your bathroom. If you have to paste it in your sitting room. Anywhere, just as long as you remember them. Do it. Do it. Keep it in your mouth. Mutter it again and again. Speak God's word. Begin to see yourself living like that. See yourself having all things supplied to you. See the version of you who is not in lack. See the version of you who is living as Jesus wants you to live. Healthy. Please close your eyes and pray. Don't look lost. Close your eyes and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now think of a brother here or a sister who, the ones you know, right? You probably one, if you don't know, it's okay. But if there's anybody you know in this place who you think is carrying a burden, probably they have shared with you or you just observed, okay? Now, in the name of Jesus, I want you to just lift that person up in prayer and uphold that person. Speak to God about that person. The way you would pray for yourself, this prayer, I'm not expecting that you just be, no, it's not whispering. It's not, pray it intensely. Pray it intensely. Lord, this is my sister. Lord, this is my brother. Say, let this thing give way. Let this challenge give way. Let this burden be lifted. Let this challenge be lifted. Pray it with all of your heart. Pray it. It is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person that avails much. NPC, we said it makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Go ahead and pray for a brother. Pray as though it is an emergency you have. Go ahead and pray. Pray. Call unto God for somebody. Speak God's word. Say no over this situation. See, you can move that mountain. We can move mountains. We can move mountains. Believe it and say it out. Say, Lord, we speak an end to this. Yes, Lord. I speak an end to this. I speak an end to this call. In the name of Jesus. Pray intense. Pray intense. Say, false fire, no fire. Speak an end. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have this confidence in you. And when we ask anything in accordance to your will, we receive what we ask for. Thank you, Father, for you heal us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.